Lord God, as we ponder the words of your Holy Scripture, we know that we can only do this with the help of your Spirit, and so we ask that your Spirit be here amongst us and within us as we reflect upon these, your words of Holy Scripture. Amen. The great Christian author C.S. Lewis entitled his autobiography, Surprised by Joy. And he took that title, he said, because that is exactly how he felt when he discovered the joy of Christ in his life. Up until the point where he understood and believed and committed himself to Christ, he would have these wonderful moments of joy. Not pleasure, not happiness, but what he called joy, which as he reflected upon them became, if you will, the signature encounter with God. As he went through life, he called joy. And as he wrote in his autobiography, he said that before he knew Christ, he would have these moments that were signposts, if you will. God reaching out to him. God showing that God was at work in the world. And he was always surprised when he saw them. Joy was the signature aspect of his relationship with God. And maybe he found this passage that Karen read from Isaiah as one of those sources of joy. For this passage from the 35th chapter of Isaiah is just brimming with that sense of exaltation that one has when one encounters God. I want to read that same passage as translated by Eugene Peterson in the Message Bible. Wilderness and desert will sing joyously. The ballads will celebrate the flower. Like the crocus in spring, bursting into blossom in a symphony of song and color, mountains, glories of Lebanon, a gift. Awesome Carmel, stunning Sharon, gifts. God's resplendent glory fully on display, God awesome, God majestic, energize the limp hands, strengthen the rubbery knees. Tell the fearful souls, courage, take heart. God is here, right here, on his way to put things right and redress all wrongs. He is on his way. He will save you. Blind eyes will be opened. Deaf ears will be unstopped. Lame men and women will leap like deer and the voiceless break into song. Springs of water will burst out in the wilderness. Streams flow in the desert. Hot sands will become a cool oasis, thirsty ground, a splashing fountain. Even lowly jackals will have water to drink, and barren grasslands will flourish richly. There will be a highway called the Holy Road. No one will rule, no one rude or rebellious is permitted on this road, for it is God's people exclusively. Impossible to get lost on this road. Not even fools will get lost on it. No lions in this road. No dangerous wild animals. Nothing and no one dangerous or threatening. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The people of God the people God has ransomed will come back on this road. They will sing as they make their way home to Zion, unfurling halos of joy encircling their heads. Welcome home with gifts of gladness and joy as sorrows and sighs scurry into the night. In his book, Surprised by Joy, Lewis mentions signposts of God's presence. Isaiah is putting up a billboard of God's presence. The people will sing, not only the people, but the animals, the birds. Even the desert itself will proclaim God's majesty, and all will be made right in the world. You know, it is hard for us in Westerville to connect with ourselves, with the people of Isaiah's time. The people of Isaiah's time were imprisoned. They were exiled in a foreign land. When it talks about returning to Jerusalem, that was a faint hope. And yet it was that hope that God promised to them. And the confirmation of that hope they would see as they returned, for the deserts would bloom and even sing. But we don't always feel that way, and yet when we think about it, a lot of us have our own prisons, if you will, that bind us, that hold us back, the burdens of life that weigh upon us and keep us from seeing those billboards of God's joy. For so many in this room, in our neighborhoods, find this time very hard. For they're bearing the burden of maybe illness or injury, bearing the burdens of grief and sorrow, bearing the burdens of difficult relationships, bearing the burdens of maybe losing a job or being in a job that doesn't satisfy or having no job at all, bearing the burdens of worrying about how they're going to pay the next bill or maybe even where they're going to get their next meal. And in that sense, we may be closer to the people of Isaiah's time than we realize. But Isaiah's message comes proclaiming, come, see what God is doing where God is at work. And then we read in the New Testament passage from Matthew that John the Baptist has sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one or is there another? John had been imprisoned. You might remember that John had been out in the wilderness baptizing people, challenging the authorities, telling people to repent. And for his efforts, he was thrown in jail. And there in jail, one can brood, just like we brood over our troubles and trials. He brooded and wondered at that time that this Jesus, whom he had baptized, whom he had declared as the one who was coming after him, more mighty than he, even he wondered if that was so. So he sent his disciples and said, who would ask him, are you the one? And Jesus, in his way, he says, go and tell John what you see. Tell John what you see. And then echoing what Isaiah spoke hundreds of years earlier, he says, the lame will walk, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the poor will have good news spoken to them. These things are happening now. Jesus tells the disciples of John, these things are happening now. Just go and see. And that's part of our job in the church, isn't it? To go and see and proclaim and set up those billboards just like Isaiah. But first we have to see where those things are happening. And they are happening. Betty shared good news of how somebody appreciated our concert. Those of you who went on that concert were able to hear one of the homeowners speak. That's one of the joys of going on the concert. I'm stuck here with the choir. Only every every 4 years we get to hear the homeowner speak. What a wonderful message, though, they give us. That good news is happening out there, but we need to look and we need to proclaim it. A while back, Kath and I visited friends. He was in the hospital, dying of cancer, in a very interesting military-themed shirt on. We asked him about it, and he said, well, another friend had come to visit him, and he was wearing that shirt. And when our friend had asked this other friend about it, this man left the room, disappeared. Our friend wondered if he had offended him or something, but he came back about 20 minutes later. He had a different shirt on, and he gave the military-themed shirt to our dying friend and said, here, it's yours. The man had gone down to the gift shop at the hospital and bought an OSU t-shirt, because you can always buy those around here, right? And Gay literally gave the man the shirt off his back. The man wore it proudly. He was an Army veteran. And gave him some comfort in his last days. But more than the shirt, I think, it was the willingness of friends to reach out to him. One of my friends, Kathy Bostrom, Presbyterian minister and author, whom I've mentioned before, writes in her book, Calm Amongst the Chaos, about the time she was in the hospital during Advent time. Kathy's had a lot of health issues, and so she's had to struggle a lot on what it would mean for her life, and this was one of those serious times in the hospital. And she was kind of lamenting her state when she heard music. Not loud music, but music. Of course, hospitals are noisy places. Machines in the room make noise. People are talking in the hallway. Even at night, it's not entirely quiet. But every once in a while, she could hear this music. And as she concentrated on it, she realized it sounded like a lullaby. And she wondered if the hospital was trying to help all the patients go to sleep. When the nurse came in to check her the next time, the nurse said, well, no, that isn't the intent of that lullaby. It's that every time a baby is born in this hospital, they play a lullaby on the loudspeakers. And for Kathy, she saw that as a sign of God's promise of life in the midst of all the hardship, illness, and even death in a hospital. And that's what Isaiah and Jesus are reminding us, that there is life amongst even the hardships of our life. Even when we struggle. If this is a season of struggle for you, I invite you to come next Friday night to our longest night service. If you know someone for whom this is a season of struggle, invite them to come. But for all of us, whether we come there or not, look for the confirmations of God's presence with us. They are all around us. And when you see one, be sure to share it with someone else. Amen.
Thank you.
seated. Oh Lord, hear our prayers. Oh God, we live solely because of you, and we give you thanks for the remarkable gift of life. We praise you for the human community into which you have placed us and for all people everywhere. We ask you to help us strive always to live in greater harmony with one another, even though our inclination seems otherwise. Teach us the value of overcoming differences and of seeking common ground with one another, recognizing that most of us have difficulties even within our own families. But we pray that you might show us how we can all live in greater harmony with one another. Oh Lord God, we pray for every person we've lifted up before this congregation, the ones we've mentioned out loud and the ones we've mentioned in our hearts. We ask that your blessings be upon them and that where there is need, you might provide an answer to that need. And when there is a need for you, you might reach out to them and show your presence. Oh Lord God, we ask that you comfort each of us in this time of Advent. Grant your blessings upon each of us that we might find peace and joy during this season, and prepare us, O Lord, so that we might be ready when the Christ child comes, and so that we might go and see the child for ourselves and welcome that child into our lives. This we pray in the name of that Christ child, now and always. Amen.